If the Illuminati controls the world, who controls the Illuminati? If humans are 60% water, does that mean half of our body is constantly underwater? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Live! Welcome back, everyone, to the podcast that's not afraid to ask the big questions.
They don't get any bigger.
They don't, honestly. This is This Paranormal Life, the only paranormal comedy podcast hosted by me and Kit, where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal tale, claim, beast, legend, and come to a conclusion with our years and years of expertise to decide whether or not it is true or it is false.
That's right.
You know, the world of the paranormal is kind of like the sun. If you look at it for too long, you go blind. So occasional glances with sunglasses on. Those are the rules that I follow in my day-to-day life.
It's also a bit like The Matrix, because if you die in the paranormal realm, you die in real life.
And by the paranormal realm, we mean like just in the woods.
Yeah, in night. The woods, in a dungeon, in a castle.
You still die when you're in an office. You know, you'll die anywhere. Death is death. You know, that's one of the topics we haven't covered yet, death. But we'll do that eventually, I think, when the show declines.
It'll be a live investigation, our final episode.
This episode, this is a great story. I've been meaning to investigate this one for a while now. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of info to get through here, but it's all crucial. It's all crucial. I can't stress that enough.
How can all of it, all 45 minutes of it be crucial?
It is excruciatingly crucial.
Okay.
So if I'm saying
it
like...
It doesn't sound fun, whatever.
Silence!
Okay.
If I'm saying he had a ham sandwich for lunch,
yeah,
you need to burn that into your memory because everything is
Why
crucial.
Are you so stressed?
Because I'm scared that I'm going to f*** it up, honestly, and say he had a turkey sandwich
Probably
instead
well
of a
with that
ham
attitude.
Sandwich. And then at the end, you're going to go, well, didn't you say he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And then I'm confused and I look like an asshole. So
chill.
Sorry. It's been a while since I've hosted. So I'm just, I forgot how to do this.
It's been, what, a week? It's always a week. We swap it
around. So our worry, our story for this week begins 2 years ago in 2017. Is that recent enough for you, Kit?
Pretty damn recent, yeah.
There was a university student in Brazil named Bruno Borges who was studying philosophy at a local uni. He was a smart kid, bit of an eccentric character, but passionate about his work. Then one day, he went missing. And when his family entered his room to see if he was there, they discovered something terrifying. To find out what really happened, let's go back to the beginning. Ever since he was born, Bruno Borges had been regarded by his family as a highly intelligent child. His mother claimed that he would read constantly as a child, so much so that it actually worried her. I guess he's just reading a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, how much do you have to be? You'd have to be reading, like, Shakespeare at 6 months. That would be like, well, let's take a step back. Start with Peppa Pig, then we'll jump up to Shakespeare.
At a young age, Bruno had already read the entire Bible and all of Shakespeare's works.
I mean, what does read really mean in this context? Like, are they doing a pop quiz afterwards? Are they grilling him on that information?
Or is he just flicking the pages?
Or is he just cartoon style got like a picture book about the hungry caterpillar inside a larger copy of the Bible?
Sneaky baby tactics right there.
Manipulating his parents.
This inspired him to actually write his own books. 5 specifically.
Bible 2, Bible 3.
Bible 4. This time it's personal. The return of Jesus. Oh wait, that was Bible 1.
That was
1.
Bible 1,
yeah,
actually.
Of course. So what happened to this talented egghead that led to his disappearance? Well, in the months before Bruno disappeared, his family noted some highly unusual behavior. According to his mother, he approached her to ask for money. He said very relaxed, "Oh, you know, I'm in the middle of working on an important project, and I just need a bit of money to get it finished, mother."
Sounds sensible enough for a super genius child.
Yeah.
He's probably building a nuclear reactor somewhere.
He's a genius.
He needs a little spare cash, just a couple K to get it off the ground.
So his mother replied, you know, "Oh, is this for a university project?"
Mm-hmm.
Not quite, mother. He told his mother that he was writing a series of 14 books.
Wow.
That would completely change the world. His mother was concerned.
Yes, 14's a lot.
Well, I mean, not even the number of books, but the nature of the books. I mean, Harry Potter changed the world.
Yeah.
Like, Lord of the Rings changed the world.
Changing the world, it's like, it's a little delusional, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of delusions of grandeur, but, you know, it's good to have a little bit of hope.
He did follow it up with, "Do not be afraid, mother. My work will change humanity for the better."
Yeah, we're getting, I mean, getting that coupled with the voice. I mean, he's Brazilian. Where's the voice coming from?
The check is slowly receding back into mother's purse. She's like, okay, yeah, university project. Super ambitious. That's great. Yes, give me the money, mother. Then they'll all see. Okay, now here you go, Bruno. When you say things like that, mama gets worried.
Sorry. Bruno, whenever your eyes sort of flash digitally like an electronic Furby behind your pupils.
At this point, his mother basically said, look, unless you tell me exactly what this thing is that you're working on, I ain't gonna give you shit all.
That's some good ass parenting.
It's great parenting. Because we know Bruno's a smart kid.
Yeah.
So and treat him like an adult.
She's like, I wanna help, but you gotta be honest with me.
Exactly. Well, Bruno stood by his claims that the project was so top secret, he couldn't let her know about it.
It is so top secret, mama, yet I cannot afford basic food and water. I'm such a super genius, but yet I am forced to live in my parents' home. It's a goddamn con.
I'm shackled by these human necessities, mother. Make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, please. For your little boy genius. So you're smart, but you're a terrible person.
Are you really smart if you can't make a sandwich?
Bruno said, mother, at least let me quit my part-time job so I can devote all my time to this project. His mother said, all right, that's enough. I love and respect you, Bruno, but I think you've gone mad. So she took him to the doctor to have him examined.
He wants to quit his part-time job. What kind of loser is this?
The doctor said he was fine. Good health, not suffering from any mental health issues at all. So with this in mind, Bruno's mother gave him permission to leave his job and focus full-time on this new project. However, it wasn't until much, much later that she discovered that Bruno had managed to already secure a loan from one of his cousins for approximately $6,000.
That's a decent chunk of change by anyone's standards.
It is. Some time passed, and Bruno had been working away in his room seemingly non-stop. One day, his parents left to go on holiday, and his siblings recall that as soon as they left, Bruno began keeping his door locked at all times. One day, while his parents were still on vacation, Bruno left his room, locked the door, and left the house. His siblings remember seeing him carrying a backpack as he entered a taxi that pulled up outside. A later investigation discovered the taxi took him to a nearby motel. Now, I don't know a lot about this specific motel or its history in the town, but interestingly, there was an area just behind the motel that many spiritualists believe to be an important site.
Interesting.
So I think it was kind of a wooded area, and there would be kind of like spiritualist groups and pop-up shrines and gatherings there at night.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That he would use that for his motel needs.
As soon as Bruno left that taxi, he disappeared. Gone.
That was it?
He's gone.
That was the last time we've seen was his siblings, so I'm getting to the taxi?
His parents returned home from their trip, and they were greeted back by the family, except Bruno. So they went up and knocked on his door. Bruno, we're home! But no response. In fact, the family told them they hadn't seen Bruno in a long time.
There's a looping tape recorder. Back off, mama. I'm busy writing, mama.
I'm working on my special project, mama. Now the parents are getting worried. They forced their way into Bruno's room, and that's when they saw something truly terrifying. I have a video of the room, Kit, if you want to see it.
A video?
A video.
This is unprecedented.
What?
Oh, no. Whoa, this is terrifying. Oh my god. Is that a no. Is that a metal statue?
A giant statue.
If you're a parent walking in on that, you don't know if you've succeeded or failed as a parent. Like,
yeah.
It's one or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, this is maybe the most unbelievable sight I've seen in this paranormal life history. Holy shit.
For those of you who didn't have a mental image painted in their head of what the room looked like, I mean, I would recommend going online and viewing this room for yourself.
You gotta see it.
Because it is very incredible and sort of disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
To go into the specific details, the walls of the room were plastered in strange writings and inscriptions. 14 books of encrypted material lay across the desk. Paintings of extraterrestrials, what looked like occult members in robes, on the walls. And in the middle of it all, a giant life-size sculpture of the philosopher Giordano Bruno with what looked like a pentagram drawn underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you want to find in your child's room.
No. It almost looks like the command brig of some kind of alien craft. It's entirely white.
Because I think, like, as a parent, typically, you know, what have you got to be afraid of? Maybe some Playboy magazines.
Yeah, that's as bad as it's going to get.
Maybe
really.
Like a bag of weed.
Maybe
or
weed,
something.
Right.
And you got to sit him down and be like, look, Kevin, I found your weed. Or, you know, I saw the nudie ladies, Kevin.
You could just imagine the parents just being like, just kind of like winking and kind of chuckling to each other. It's like, look, it's one of a couple of things. We have to give him the birds and the bees talk. He's gay.
Yeah.
He's smoking weed. There's something going on, some like little, you know, teenage crisis that we got to talk
him through.
We got to
help him out, yeah.
We've been there. We've all been kids. We've been through it all. So let's just talk to him.
Holy shit!
He's
Bruno!
He's a Satanist!
Bruno, get your ass in here! What is this, you little shit?
You little demon bastard.
It's my secret project, mama, papa.
You knock that voice off right now.
You are grounded, mister. Go to your room. Don't go to your room. Get out of your room. That's just what you like, you little genius, but wouldn't you?
Give me those robes. I'm going to give you some blue jeans and a polo shirt.
That's it. 2 weeks of television and video games for you, mister.
In fact, here's a joint and some Playboys.
It's a difficult situation. But you know what? Their son is missing. That's something to be genuinely quite scared about.
Yeah, I think this... I mean, if I was that kid's parent, I'd be like, okay, he's joined a cult.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Let's find all the nearest cults and contact them.
100%. That's super smart. And that's not too different from what they did. So they obviously immediately reported the case to the police, who came in, photographed all the books and the strange messages. And they tried to look for someone who could hopefully translate or decipher them.
So they're not in Portuguese or they're not in English or any recognizable language?
It's such a mix between things. I think some of it's in Portuguese. Some of it is like encrypted in weird, strange languages. Some of it almost appears like runic.
Mm.
It's similar stuff we've dealt with before, like
right.
Or cicada even. And the way that they kind of encrypt things.
Yes, got it.
But it's very confusing stuff. But luckily, the police managed to have a bit of a breakthrough. They managed to locate the artist who had built the statue for Bruno's room. The man's name was George Rivas Plata, and he said that Bruno had approached him about making a statue for his room because Bruno believed that he was the physical reincarnation of the philosopher.
Got it.
So I think this is one of the many layers that complicates the story. Bruno obviously believed his name was Bruno. The philosopher's name was Bruno. I think they shared similar beliefs.
Yeah.
I looked a little bit into this guy, Giordano Bruno. You know, pretty cool stuff. He was into reincarnation mm-hmm. and astral projection. One of the first guys to believe that the galaxy was infinite mm-hmm. and that stars were actually stars. That sort of stuff. Obviously, he was burned immediately.
Of course.
And killed. Now, what is super crazy is that George actually thought he was telling the truth.
What?
So Bruno paid him $2,700 to craft this enormous statue and put it in his room.
What the hell he spent the other $3,300 on?
Ink? I don't know.
White paper?
Biros? I honestly have no idea. When the police asked George about where Bruno had gone, he simply replied, "He's fine. He's finally completed the work of Giordano Bruno."
They arrest George right away. Oh, for that?
Kid, you're f***ing weird. You're going to jail, man. I don't know what you've done, but you're going to do something eventually.
All I know is we need less of you on the street.
George believes that Bruno has disappeared because he has finally completed the work of the old philosopher Giordano Bruno. They both believe that the philosopher was reincarnated in Bruno.
Yeah.
And whatever is in this room, the paintings, the books, the statue, this is kind of the culmination of all of the work and research that they've done that will change mankind forever. Pretty heavy. I mean, you got, this better be a damn good book.
Yeah, like, I need to know what's inside this thing.
It's usually a bad sign when you've written 13 sequels to the original before anyone's even read the first page.
Yeah, no one asked for even book two.
But maybe that'll become like a cool bullet point in his history. You know how like, oh, did you know J.K. Rowling was actually turned down by publishers before she got her deal? It's like, you know, Bruno wrote all 14 copies in a day.
Unfortunately, this is closer. This is less like J.K. Rowling writing the Harry Potter series and more close to the guy who wrote Scientology also wrote like a couple thousand shitty sci-fi novels before he wrote Scientology.
Which is not the kind of the group of authors you want to be. That's not the writing club that you want to join.
No.
Absolutely not. Later, police discovered that before disappearing, Bruno visited a local dressmaker where he requested to have 3 cloaks made. When the dressmaker asked if they were for a church, he reportedly replied, "Almost that."
He's just running around making everyone incredibly uneasy.
I know, like, you could have texted your parents and been like, "Hey, it's gonna get weird," and then do it. But he's just like, "You know what? I'll throw some weirdness in here. I'll get some cloaks made as well." Just adding unnecessary things.
"Almost that. Also, don't tell Mama." "What? I don't know your mother. Please don't tell Mama."
"Also, how much is a cloak? I'm assuming $4,000. They're like, how did you know? You are a smart kid.
What a steal.
"How about 3,000 and copies 1 to 6 of my new book that will change?" "No, just give me the money. Fair dues." The police at this point had no more leads, no more clues to follow. Bruno was assumed dead or gone forever. Then, late one night, 5 months later, security footage captured someone walking towards the Borges house. The figure was barefoot and walked slowly out of the shadows. Bruno had returned!
What?
5 months later!
Like Jesus himself, he had returned.
With book 15! He took a week off in a log cabin, just him and Mother Nature. Obviously now, the press and paranormal investigators all over the world clamored to get an interview and find out just what the hell had happened to this guy.
Right.
So 8 days later, after he returned home, Bruno gave an interview where he said, "I was on a mystic journey of the soul. I had a notion that the Philosopher's Stone was within the Dark Land, so I went after, entering this Dark Land to find it. In the same way that the hero enters the cave to kill a dragon, and that Jonas entered a whale, I also dived into the Sea of the Unconscious in order to rescue me."
Oh, Jesus.
His dad's like, yep, he's a idiot.
Oh no. What's the Dark Land? You can't just say that. Was that a metaphor? That better not be a metaphor, because if that's a metaphor, he's just been hanging out in like a dumpster.
Yeah.
It better be the name of a forest,
a literal
mountain range.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it has to be somewhere physical, because if it's not, that's a piss take.
He's been eating out of Italian restaurant dumpsters.
The darkness, as he calls them. But he says he dived into the Sea of the Unconscious in order to rescue himself.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It seems like one of those things, he's throwing a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Like, he mentioned the Philosopher's Stone and then never mentioned it again. I don't know if the books even mentioned the Philosopher's Stone.
I think you said that he studied philosophy, didn't he?
Yes.
I mean, is this not every stereotype of like a first year philosophy students everywhere? He did like philosophy 101, the first class. And everyone was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. I guess I'll stick around for the next 3 years and eventually get my undergraduate degree. But him, day one, he was like, I understand it all now, I think. I won't be needing this anymore.
Bruno, we barely even scratched the surface of the syllabus. I mean, there is so much more to go. Silence, lecturer.
I am the professor now.
He just walks. It's like, where did you get a graduation gown? I understand my mission. To gather the Philosopher's Stone. It's like, this is philosophy. The Philosopher's Stone, I think, is something that can make gold. It's not relevant at all.
It either makes gold or it's a Harry Potter movie.
He just glides up with his finger over his lips. Shh, 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 hush now.
The voice of Giordano comes through me.
It's like, okay, so the one philosopher that we've taught you about so far is the one you reference.
Silence!
He like goes for the exit, but then turns around to the class and smiles and goes, just to think, one day they'll teach students about me in this classroom. No, they won't, Bruno. Get out. Silence! I didn't say anything. I was done talking. Very good. I've got two more cloaks if anyone wants to join me. Anyone? We'll get the stone. Rescue ourselves from the unconscious. All right, then. Someone in the back coughs. Silence! Oh, sorry, I thought someone said something. Just leave, Bruno.
You forgot your backpack.
No, I didn't. Philosopher doesn't need a backpack. So it's strange, because a lot of the theories about Bruno's disappearance now don't really make a lot of sense.
Okay.
Because when he disappeared, during these 5 months, the video tour of his bedroom went viral.
Of course. I mean,
you can see why. It was everywhere. And all the theories ranged from him joining a creepy satanic cult, possibly, him joining some sort of Illuminati-style organization, being recognized as a supermind. He was possibly abducted by aliens. I mean, there was a painting that he did in his room of himself chilling with an alien.
That's pretty incriminating. I mean, I kind of forgot that fact.
Yeah.
Amidst all the other craziness. But yeah, I think, didn't the alien have his hand on his shoulder or something?
I'm pretty sure he did. I mean, it was a pretty good painting as well. Which is really impressive. Even if he's not smart, he's talented at art. Which
is better than me at art.
Yeah. But obviously, now that he's back and spouting out this stuff, it kind of obviously put a dampener on a lot of those other theories.
Well, the explanation that he gave is, you know, kind of interesting and Joseph Campbell-esque, this hero's journey he's talking about. But the whole point of that kind of metaphor is that it can apply to anything. It's very inspecific. We don't know if he went on a literal journey.
Yeah.
Or if he just took LSD for 5 months in a dumpster, like I said.
Yeah, the dark place, the dark realm, as we'll call it.
Yeah, the dark lands. And then returned. We don't know what he did exactly.
Yeah. Because, as you said, the Darklands can mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, I say I've been to the Darklands when one morning I woke up hungover with my hand still in a bucket of KFC chicken.
Yeah.
I call that the Dark Times.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be applied to anyone.
Yeah. If I wake up in the morning and I go to make a cup of tea and there's no milk, I call that year the Darkland. And I just write off that entire year.
It's gone now. It's wasted.
Yeah.
So it is kind of disappointing that he's come back, but with no definitive reason why he left in the first place or what he gained from being gone.
Right.
Literally nothing. It sounds like he went away to think.
Yeah.
And came back empty handed. I learned nothing from my time away, which could only mean I already know everything.
Okay. So the same as before then.
This is him coming back to class.
He's come back on graduation day. Everyone else is wearing a real gown because they're graduating. He hasn't learned anything. They're all getting their diplomas.
I love the idea of it being graduation day and, you know, the music is playing. Everyone's there. They're handing out everyone's diplomas and certificates. And it's like, and now the graduating class of 2017 for philosophy studying. Silence! Oh, God.
Oh, no, he's
back. One voice from the crowd.
I can't believe it.
It is I, Bruno, back from my adventures from the dark land.
He walks up on stage. He like wants to be part of it. He walks up on stage to shake the professor's hand and get his diploma there. The guy's like pulling his hand away. He's like, no, you didn't graduate. You didn't even study.
You don't deserve this.
I know more than you, professor. Just shake my damn hand. Give me the diploma and no one has to get hurt.
Only a true philosopher will know that the diploma itself is irrelevant in the pursuit of knowledge. So give me the diploma.
He's like booed off stage, you know, completely shamed, goes down off the wings behind the stage curtain, and his alien friend is just back there.
How did it go, buddy?
They laughed at me, Zonktar.
Humans are truly primitive.
And they're just beamed up. Beamed back up to the dark land.
Zonktar. Zonktar, you really are my only friend in the Darklands.
Just you and me, Bruno. Let's go get some drinks.
Before we come down to our conclusions, because this story is just about wrapped up, I feel like it's only common sense to include the conclusion of the police investigation.
Of course, they are the professionals in their field.
It will pain me to say some of these sentences aloud. So during the time Bruno went missing, the first volume of his work was actually decoded and published.
Wow.
And reached number 24 on the bestseller list.
Shut the f*** up.
Yeah. Further investigations uncovered some of Bruno's personal belongings at the home of one of his friends, further suggesting that the disappearance was possibly staged.
So whenever he ran away to his friend's house.
We don't know that.
The way that little kids do.
We don't know that for sure.
They're like, I'm running away, never to be seen again. They go to their friend's house for two nights and then they come crawling back.
The worst part is I wish this was the most damning evidence. But the most damning evidence by is a contract that the police discovered in the home of another friend agreeing to split the proceeds from any book sales.
Whoa.
So, all of this has obviously muddied the waters a little bit. And there's a large group of people that believe that Bruno possibly staged and planned the entire ordeal to get his books sold and published and made turn into bestsellers. Which, sure, I can see why they would think that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, he's obviously smart. Like, whether or not he did all of this as like a PR stunt, I mean, that in itself is ingenious because
It's
incredible what he actually did. I mean, folks,
you
have to see the room. Like, I can't describe how insane it is until you see this room and what's been done in it. So, I mean, that's a pretty impressive feat to pull off. Then also disappear convincingly for 5 months and be completely off the radar just so you can sell copies of your book. It's pretty, I don't know, that's a pretty far length to go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's notoriously difficult to write a book, even more so to write a good book, even more so to be in the pinnacle of modern writers and be in the illustrious heights of the international bestsellers, the people who write the best books. I think it's easier to do that than do what Bruno did.
It's like the old saying goes, the only thing better than one good book is 14 shit books, which is what he's managed to pull off.
Yes.
An incredible feat.
I'm just imagining that on the day this all breaks and the truth comes out, his phone goes off and he's like, truth's out. Everyone's taking the piss out of me. He's like, hello. It's like, is this Bruno? Yes, who's this? This is Daniel Day-Lewis. Oh my God, award-winning actor Daniel Day-Lewis? What an honor. He's like, no, Bruno, it's an honor to talk to you, the greatest actor of all time. He put on this like year-long stunt.
Yeah, basically.
To trick the world.
And also, the attention to detail is incredible. I mean, coming back to his family home with no shoes on?
Yeah.
Why? What a weird, tiny little detail. And then, even then, when it's all been found out, he still doesn't give up the gig. He's like, I was looking for the Philosopher's Stone in the Dark Land.
It's also funny to imagine, like, when this all comes out and people are kind of taking it as a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
The police are like, oh, you're absolutely being arrested for wasting police time. What the hell?
It baffles me that he wasn't arrested, I think. If he truly did plan all this. Because then if he did plan all this, I almost guarantee you that his family and his mom and dad were all in on it as well.
Yeah, that's the saddest story, saddest version of this, is that everyone we've talked about is involved.
Yeah, they would have had to be. But, I mean, I can see arguments for both sides. He's sticking with his guns. And, folks, I wouldn't make your mind up until you see this bedroom. Because there is, I mean, there's stuff that he's done and drawn out that, I mean, I couldn't even make up if you gave me a month. I'd be like, I don't even know what to do. Squiggles? What the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know? It would be a really big task. I want to give a special shout out to slaptam.com, who did an amazing write-up of this whole story and kind of like broke down the timeline for it. So go check that out definitely if you want more detail.
Did the deep dive.
The deep dive.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But, you know what, we can't dance around it forever. We're gonna have to come to conclusions eventually. And I think that time is now. Kit, what do you think is going on here in Bruno's mind? Philosopher or coward?
You've kind of painted me into a corner here by kind of concluding the story by saying that everyone agrees it's a scam.
I said a large group of people agree that it was a scam. I never said everyone agreed.
But for the sake of looking back at the kind of interesting aspects of this story, definitely fascinating. That room is unlike anything I've ever seen. He obviously takes genuine interest, if not genuine metaphysical questions about the universe and contact with extraterrestrials. At the very least, these superficial sci-fi themes that seems to blend ancient philosophy, modernist UFO culture, and bizarre introspective psychedelic visions of the hero's journey.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool collaboration of ideas.
Yeah.
But unfortunately that doesn't mean that this wasn't all in the pursuit of writing and selling these books.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems to be that despite that elaborate bedroom with all of its design and statues and everything, that the core of the idea, it all seemed to be centered around these books. They're set out so beautifully in that room.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a showroom, like how you would show off a car or show off an art gallery.
Absolutely. It's a really good point. I mean, you know, seeing this room, it is obviously covered in research notes and spells, drawings, diagrams, but it's all done in a very showy way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reason why this room went viral. You know, it's designed to be almost a publicity stunt in itself. You know, if you were really convinced that you had, you know, done something that was going to change the history of mankind, that could just be the books, you know, the books on a desk.
Yeah.
You probably don't need the enormous statue and these insanely huge drawn diagrams all over the walls and things. I mean, when you look at it from that point of view, that it becomes a lot clearer that this is probably a publicity stunt. But I completely agree with what you said. Even though this might be fake and it might be a device used to just sell books, he's obviously a very intelligent guy. He's obviously interested in a lot of cool / weird occult sci-fi alien astral projection type stuff, and he is pursuing it to some degree. There were parts of the book, of the other 14 books, that were deciphered and translated, and I took a quick look through some of them. Incredibly disappointing.
Really, just garbage
from what I'd seen. Yeah, you know, it's your classic story of someone who's like, I've cracked it.
Yeah.
Like, this book holds all the truths of mankind. We will no longer be shackled to the mortal coils of our own body. and you translate it and it's like, you've been told lies. It's like, you've been told to believe lies your whole life, but I'm telling you now, humans are anything they want to be. It's like, I thought it was going to be like, if you eat grass and drink milk at the same time, you become immortal. Like, I want a spell or some shit. I want like a potion.
Yeah, I want to flick the switch and yeah. fly to the moon.
I don't need to be told that my ancestors were born out of a dying star's asshole. I want to know how to fly.
It's because, yeah, all of these, the people who are claiming to have all of the answers, unfortunately, the subtext of that is that these answers are unbelievably subjective.
Yeah.
There's a great story of Terence McKenna, who was the kind of crazy psychedelic thinker of the 90s, sadly passed away. And he basically was taking huge amounts of psychedelic compounds and then giving lectures and sort of universities around the world and teaching people about these other realms of consciousness.
Yeah.
And he said, part of the problem is, you know, you go into the dark lands and you learn everything, but you can't bring it back into the world of reality.
Customs.
And exactly.
It's crazy.
The
you gotta cosmic sneak custom. That shit back with you.
And
but you got bags and bags of ideas and concepts, and you know, you were like spraying that thing with Lynx Africa to try and mask the scent, but they got thought dogs, sniffer dogs,
yeah.
right on the border.
And they were like, we're going to keep you ignorant. There's no way you're going back woke.
You're popping ideas up your asshole in a balloon trying to get it through security.
But he describes like what the one time that he tripped hard and he learned all these cosmic truths, and in the trip he managed to just reach across the room to a pen, pad and paper, and he was like, I'm going to jot this down, I'm going to take this knowledge back. And he scribbled the line down and then he passes out, and then the trip ends.
Yeah.
And an hour later he wakes up in a daze and he goes, oh my god, I jotted it down. And he picks up the pad and it just says, a song is a song.
That's the highest thing I've ever heard.
And like, that's exactly what you see with this type of like sci-fi philosophical writing.
Trying to translate it's
like completely meaningless to anyone but yourself.
Yeah. It's like trying to taste a color.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't translate. It's like trying to bring Hillary Duff's phone number into the real world whilst in a dream.
That's right.
I'm just jotting down, you know, I any numbers I can think of, and you wake up and it's just a song is a song.
And granted, in the dream world that would have gone straight to her iPhone.
Yeah, if I typed that in.
But in the real world, it's three digits long. 999, help me.
What I'm kind of concluding with is, intelligent guy, hyper intelligent, maybe even to a detrimental point. Because it doesn't really seem to be doing him many favors.
I can't imagine he's having a good literary career off this.
I mean, bestseller, that's pretty impressive.
I guess.
But I think in terms of this investigation as a whole, coming down on whether or not it is paranormal, there's a lot of paranormal themes going on here, but what I think we have is a very normal person mm-hmm. writing about very paranormal events and theories.
And those people are a dime a dozen.
Exactly.
No.
Okay. So double no this week in the investigation into whatever the hell we're going to call this episode.
Hey, that was unique though.
It was a weird one, right?
Very unique story.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. Ooh-wee. It was a fun one. It was a little bit of a weird story one. Again, I highly recommend anyone listening to this to Google this room.
Go see that video and then let us know what you think.
Exactly, exactly. We'll probably post it on some socials, but if we don't, yeah. go check it out yourselves. Thank you so much for listening. If you love this show, hopefully you do. Hopefully that's why you're still here. There's a lot of different ways you can get in contact with us. One way is to send your stories and emails to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Tweet, 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 tweet. Where the little birds are spouting messages in our on our timelines.
They're,
we can't
they're
block them fast
regurgitating,
enough.
Vomiting garbage into our mods.
And then we also have the Facebook Secret Society, where like-minded geniuses like Bruno here can find a safe online chat room to paste with your walls and shite while there is a statue of me and Kit in the middle under just above a spellboard.
It's really just a community of about 2,000 people trying to find sculptors.
We have a lot of people who need statues. We've got all people who don't make statues. So it's a difficult situation. Also, our electricity's been down, so we are referring to it as the Darklands. But in no way does that reflect the mood or tone of the commune.
No.
Spirits could never be higher.
Upbeat.
So definitely check that out. Come join and chat about some episodes and stuff. But even though the commune's great, there is only one place you can get bonus content. Merchandise. And a shout out.
I am freezing.
I don't know if I can stop this. Kit, please help me. Check out the Patreon. I'm too tired to plug it real hard today, but it's a great place. The bonus episodes are absolutely popping. That's where we can disclose like the really, really, really paranormal shit.
Yeah.
That we can't even mention on this podcast. It all has to be redacted.
That's right.
We have, I think our last bonus episode was just reading the entire Mueller report head to toe. We got a copy. Nothing withheld, folks.
And you keep seeing on CNN, we've got the full report, but it's redacted. It got the full report, but there's bits missing.
Yeah.
All those missing bits are about ghosts.
It's paranormal as shit. The only way you can hear that is by going to Patreon and checking out some of the rewards we have over there. So go check it out. And mentioning Patreon, if you do support us, we like to give you a special shout out at the end of the episode. So a big thank you to these very special commune members.
First of all, a special thank you to Ryan Menzies, who incredibly kindly sent us a physical copy of The Vertical Plane.
I cannot believe it, folks. It's here in my hands right now.
If people haven't heard that episode, we did a two-part series a long-ass time ago called...
A fan favorite.
Yeah, a fan favorite called... It was something like...
Emails from the 1500s or something like that.
Mysterious. Haunted Computer.
Yeah.
And weirdly, whenever we recorded the episodes, the book was out of print. And then shortly after we finished it, although regretfully not because of the popularity of our podcast, they started printing it again.
Yeah, we didn't see a goddamn dime off the back of that.
Actually, we saw a big fat lawsuit.
anti-dime.
But I saw a lot of people in the Secret Society, you know, grabbing their copies on Amazon and... yeah, thanks to Ryan for sending that one through. Can't wait to read that.
Incredible. Thank you.
And also, thank you to Benji Adams.
A lot of people spend years trying to master Tai Chi, but no one can master Benji.
Nope.
It's a secret martial art used very rarely in history when a ninja, I think, had sex with a knight and formed a very powerful and aggressive martial art form known as Benji.
Yeah.
Known by only one and passed down through the family chain. So I assume Benji here knows Benji.
Presumably. I think he might be from kind of the original family that started that.
Incredible.
It's a very secretive art form. I heard it has something to do with dislocating different parts of your body and using them as weapons.
Wow. I mean, an ambitious form of defense.
Truly, just paranormal.
I think I read something about trying to bleed yourself on your enemies.
A bit like those lizards that can shoot blood out their eye sockets. Yes.
A bit of it involving that. Sir, please will you teach classes in the commune?
Please, Benji, thank you for supporting us, but also please continue the lineage of Benji.
Yeah.
And thank you also to Don Oliver. That's right, Don the Brawn Oliver.
Oh, damn.
Don brings the brawn to any situation. Pretty much just rolls up and is always the most tanked person in the building.
I mean, if we need something to do with the communes on a slow Friday, I think Don the Brawn and Benji should show down in a ring of death. You know, Benji's firing blood out his eyes. Don the Brawn is just picking him up and slamming him down like a scared lizard.
That's right. Very much UFC style, except unlike in UFC where you're not allowed to eye gouge, Benji, he enjoys eye gouging.
He loves it.
All the better for his blood shooting special attack. But thank you, Don Brown, for supporting us
on Patreon.
Thank you also to Jenny Richards.
Jenny, I always knew one day there'd be rich herds of people trying to join the paranormal commune. As soon as you put up posters saying you got a mutant fight on Friday nights, the people come crawling in, Jenny. They want to see these freaks fight, Jenny.
And that is of absolutely no offense to people we've just talked about. No
offense
at all. Of course
not. Benji.
But we have to get the people through the door, don't we?
Of course. You got
them. Mutant fights. It has a ring to it.
So thank you, Jenny, for bringing all your rich friends along to the commune.
Thank you also to Stephen Rainey.
Huh. Should have brought an umbrella. I didn't know Stephen Rainey was going to be here.
Oh, boy.
Anywhere this dude goes, a thunderstorm just comes with him.
It's bizarre and sad.
I mean, indoors, outdoors.
The man lives in waterproofs.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, his skin is just a wrinkly old raisin. He looks like he's been Benjamin Buttoned, but he's just been in the water too long.
I think he needs to be studied by science. I think he is slowly adapting to the wet. His feet and fingers are starting to become webbed.
Incredible. I mean, you could almost say he's sort of a mutant.
Bring him into the pit!
We just ding ding! Throw him in. There was already a fight ongoing, but it's like, let's spice it up! Get in there, Rainy!
Thank you also to Ryan Tegeter! Ryan, take it or leave it. This is the bet I'm putting on the table. I got 50 big ones on Stephen Rainey against against Don the Bron.
You know what? I think we should take it one step further and throw Ryan into the ring. Take it away, Brian. I called him Brian. He's like, my name is Ryan. Shut up, mutant.
Shut up
fight.
And fight.
Oh, I'm so sorry, everyone. Thank you for supporting us. You beautiful, beautiful mutants.
Thank you also to Saul Harris.
Mr. Harris actually was a health inspector that came to visit the commune.
Yeah.
Just to make sure everything was up to scratch. And, you know, he saw the mutant fight pit. He saw everything. And I said, you know, it's all good, man. Just chill out. It's all good. Everything's above board. And that's, you know, I was showing him the mutant fight pit we have out the front for appearances.
Yeah, of course.
Not the back
of
pit.
Of course.
Not the back pit.
Not the bloodbath that is the back pit.
I mean, he heard like howling and thing. I was like, what is that? I was like, it's all good.
In the front pit, people are just like stage slapping each other.
Yeah, it's more of like a WWE style.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's like two people in the crowd. Yeah, go.
So Mr. Harris, Saul above board. Don't worry about it.
He just upped his pledge. What can I say? He's on board. Thank you lastly, but not leastly, to Richard Bennett.
Richard Bendit. I've seen this dude bend a mutant's arm till it snapped in half.
He did some Benji shit. He was on some Benji shit that day.
He will just, whatever he can get his hands on, he will bend. He will bend until it is dead.
Yeah.
So obviously we had to get this guy in the ring.
He's not a mutant, but he has the strength of a mutant.
Yeah, he's very much a mutant of the human race. So we're glad to have you on board. We're glad to have you on the ring. Thanks for supporting the commune. We hope you guys enjoy the fight. That just about wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much to everyone that we shouted out. Thank you to everyone, all of you mutants out there that support this podcast. We couldn't do it without you. And we love making this podcast. It is so much fun. So without any further ado, I've been Roy Powers. This little baby bye has been Kit Greer, and we will see you next week for a brand new paranormal tale.
Ciao.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.